Yo, yo, what's up? Harry Santos here, and we just rebranded our pod. I've been an advocate of crypto for about a decade now, so join me and some friends I've met along the way as we discuss and learn more about the space. Fasten your seatbelts, it's time to go block to the future. Welcome, everyone. Finally, we are recording again. No? We haven't been recording our podcast in a long time because we got busy. We've been launching Standable and all that. By the way, please do download it. So the last time we recorded an episode, if you look through Spotify, you'll actually see that we have the same guest today. You know, very exciting na naman. So our guest today is one of the crypto OGs. No? He's actually a lawyer and a law professor from San Beda, Alabang. And he's one of the early organizers of the Manila Ethereum Meetup. No? And I met him many years ago back when Ethereum was like, I don't know, $50 or so. No? Very cheap pa lang. So welcome, Attorney Raf. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Hello. Hi, Harry. Thank you again for inviting me once more. No?
Yeah. So perfect. I messaged Attorney Raf because Coinbase is suing the USEC. So, syempre, like most of you guys, I'm sure, ang una niyong naisip, wait a minute. In fact, no, I was joking to Attorney Raf over one of the group chats na for the longest time, back when I was commuting, sumasakay akong MRT. I've always wanted to sue the Department of Transport. So, siguro we can start with that, Attorney Raf. When and how can a single person sue the government and pwede rin ba yan sa Pilipinas?
So, yeah, same principle that they observe in the US actually applies here in the Philippines. And the relevant area of the law here is constitutional law. And we basically adapted many of our principles from federal constitutional, US constitutional law. And I think the starting point should be the general rule. And this is something that most people are familiar with. That's the surprise when Coinbase right now is suing the SEC. Because the general rule is you cannot sue the government. You cannot sue the state.
Oh, okay.
So it's a fundamental principle of constitutional law that the state cannot be sued. The only instance when the state can be sued is when it gives its consent. In fact, in Article 16, Section 3 of the Constitution, it states there explicitly that the state may not be sued without its consent. So the general rule is the state cannot be sued. But there are exceptions. Okay. And the first exception is clearly when the state gives its consent. And there are many hyper-legal nuances there that, in fact, in law school, this is one topics that are being discussed, the instances where the state gives its consent, whether expressly or impliedly through its actions.
So, Attorney, I guess the USEC gave its consent. Is that what you're saying here in this case?
No. This brings us to the next, another exception. There are several exceptions, but let's highlight perhaps the more relevant exception in relation to what's happening in the United States is, okay, another exception is when you're suing the state or when you're suing a government agency precisely so that the government agency will perform its mandated duty. The case that is being filed by Coinbase in the United States is called Petition for Mandamus. It's a petition for Mandamus. Mandamus is a Latin term, which means basically to mandate or command. And this petition is available for any citizen who is aggrieved when a government official or agency, representative of a state, is not doing its job. And when such job is administrative in nature and something that should be performed because it is mandated by law. And in such instances, and when there are no other speedy remedy that is available to the plain, speedy, and adequate remedy that's available to the petitioner, then this petition for mandamus can be applied and submitted in court. And in the case of Coinbase, we can probably assess now what are those instances why Coinbase was compelled to resort to this petition for mandamus. Actually, the background of this is in 2022, Coinbase has filed a petition for rulemaking submitted before the Securities and Exchange Commission. And it was also published by the Coinbase for purposes of comments. But the idea is through this petition, it could, Coinbase could encourage, is hopes to encourage the SEC to write bespoke regulation for digital assets, basically digital asset regulation, and as to how digital assets might implicate securities law. Because precisely, and the reason is again to provide clarity. Fast forward to 2023, the SEC has not done anything in relation to that petition for rulemaking. Yeah, SEC is basically, if I can use the word, basically ghosting them.
Yeah.
Not even giving a response to their petition. And there's even an instance, this is one of those factors that immediately was also one of the immediate precedents of this petition for mandamus, is in the course of the discussions of Coinbase with the SEC, after one of those meetings, the SEC afterwards gave the Wells Notice to Coinbase. The Wells Notice basically is a document, a form that requires its respondent, in this case, Coinbase, to provide certain information that are relevant to a regulatory investigation. So the point is, of this Wells Notice is basically SEC is requiring or asking Coinbase now to provide information in relation to an investigation that they're conducting for possible compliance or regulatory breaches. And this triggered now triggered Coinbase to finally file this petition for mandamus.
Right.
And in this petition for mandamus, so the point is, so it's not like Coinbase is suing SEC for certain damages, like, hey, your government, because of your actions or malfeasance, misfeasance, you're not doing your job, this has cost us damages, actual damages. So it's not really like that. The objective of this suit, what we are referring to as a suit or a case against the SEC, is to require SEC to categorically respond to a Coinbase petition for rulemaking, which was submitted last year. Because again, as I've said earlier, it's strange and baffling that the SEC and Coinbase are actually constantly meeting, discussing these regulatory issues. But in formal terms, the SEC has not responded on this petition. No? It's going to be the court who, after determining if the petition is in due course and is valid and reasonable, then they will issue this petition for mandamus to finally require the SEC to respond this petition for rulemaking.
All right. So let me break it down. So number one, I guess I want to tell our audience that Coinbase is actually a publicly traded company, no? So that's why this is so relevant, because the SEC allowed them to go public, meaning to, to raise funds from a public offering.
Correct.
And very interesting that now you're seeing this Wells Notice is basically, they're saying na parang, you're doing something that's against the rules, basically. Eh, sila, what they're saying, for the longest time, we've been telling you to tell us, what the rules are, and you're not doing it. Therefore, we're suing you.
Yes.
Now, I'm sure the next question is, obviously, what happens if they win or lose, or do they even have a chance at winning this? You mentioned it's so, it's so rare. They have to give their consent, or there are so few exceptions on when anyone can sue the government. Do they even have a chance to win? And if they do win or lose, what happens?
Okay. So I'm saying this purely as a comment. It's going to be difficult to project what's really going to happen in this case. So I'm just gonna make my best guess that Coinbase will win this petition. I think they will, simply because the remedy that they're seeking, the relief that they're seeking is quite reasonable. It's very reasonable. No? They're simply asking this government agency, the SEC, to do their job. No? And that's basically to respond to Coinbase petition for rulemaking. Coinbase is not even asking them to, come up with regulation, special regulation or bespoke regulation for digital assets. The request is very simple. Just respond to our petition. Okay. And the reason why Coinbase wants that to happen is so that at least we have some clarity. Because if the SEC responds and says, no, we're not going to come up with special rules, All right. Now, at least we know that as a matter of policy, SEC has no plans of writing new rules and provide clarity. Whereas right now, what they're basically doing is they keep on saying, SEC, that the rules are now clear. And insofar as crypto projects are concerned, okay, there is actually a regulatory path wherein they can actually come before the SEC and register. But we know as a matter of fact, as industry insiders, that in practice, that is not feasible.
Right.
It's not feasible. That is indeed why there is a need for some special bespoke rules. We don't know whether that's going to happen during the administration of Gary Gensler as the chairman of the Securities and Exchange Commission, because we are not hearing anything in terms of them responding to petitions like this. Now,
question ko naman is, has this been done before? Like, has anyone won against the U.S. government, or even here, is there like do you recall any instance na? Because parang I feel like if they do win, you know, it's very simple. What if, let's say, diba, we're just making you choose, like answer the petition, and what if the petition then gets turned down? Diba, pwede rin yun, eh? Okay, we'll answer your petition, and we'll just, you know, we'll say a negative to that. What happens there? And how has there been a case na, especially in the Philippines, do you recall any na we've sued the government or someone sued the government and actually won?
Yep, actually, it happens many times. It does happen a lot of times, especially when it comes to certain. You'll see the government being a respondent in many cases, and especially in the area of constitutional law, which is again one of those areas of law and subjects in law school. You will see many instances where the government actually loses in these cases, and this is the important point of constitutional law. It is the constitution that is the fundamental law, and it prevails over legislations, laws enacted by Congress, or even administrative regulations issued by administrative agencies like the SEC. So most of the time, especially as laymen, we might have the impression of whatever regulators say is actually the final word on these policies. Okay? But when you talk to a lawyer, actually, the lawyer will advise you, hey, let's study first if the policy that this government agency is implementing could possibly be against the law. In the context of the SEC, for instance, are the issuances of the SEC consistent with the Securities Regulation Code? Okay, so that's one thing. And then the next level of analysis there is, maybe it is consistent with the Securities Regulation Code. And then the next question is, but is the Securities Regulation Code consistent with the Constitution of the Philippines? And if you find any conflict there, then it is possible that the provisions of the Securities Regulation Code could be challenged as unconstitutional and therefore void. And same thing with administrative issuances. Let's use as another hypothetical scenario, which I believe could really become a potential issue once the issue ripens. The BSP right now regulates virtual asset service providers, right, under BSP Circular 1108. Okay, and this is founded on the theory that the BSP considers virtual asset service providers, or VASPs, as money service business. And clearly under the law, under BSP's charter, money service business falls within the regulatory perimeter of the BSP. I think we're immediately jumping to that conclusion without really analyzing or assessing the premise of the BSP. And that premise is whether, and this could be the issue, whether virtual asset service providers are really indeed money service business. Okay. And I think that's a potential issue. Because even when you read the definition of what a money service business is, under BSP Circular 1108, the guidelines for virtual asset service providers, in my view, it doesn't squarely fall within the definition of a virtual asset service. In other words, I'm seeing a potential clash within the definition and meaning of a virtual asset service provider and an MSP, a managed service business. So issues like this would probably have to be resolved in court. And not because the BSP said that this is the policy, then that's going to be the final word on it. Because it is still possible to question regulations issued by whether that's the BSP or SEC before the court.
So speaking of local regulation, you know, we've run companies in crypto and even in the Philippines, when we ask ourselves, like, for example, we still use the Howey test, right? Which is a precedent from the US Supreme Court, right? It's a rubric or a series of questions we ask to check if something is a security. We still refer to a US or American like test, right? So will this Coinbase test?
No.
I guess my next question is, this Coinbase case, if it wins or loses, magkaka-effects ba to sa Philippine regulation? Will it somehow be a precedent in how we will run things then?
I'm thinking that, so Coinbase has many initiatives, but in relation to this petition for mandamus, the objective is very simple, and that's just to ask the SEC to respond. In other words, it's a very low-hanging fruit, and that is why I think Coinbase can really win this. Not because this will finally provide clarity, but only because the objective is so simple. All right. Now, what's going to be the next step of Coinbase after this case is resolved? I think that will be the critical moment that we'll find out. No? The objective of Coinbase, and I think they've mentioned this before, is to hopefully provide some judicial review on the current policies that the Securities and Exchange Commission in the United States are implementing. The USEC is currently resorting to this regulation by enforcement, taking advantage of the broad policy that was stated in the Howey test. And until that Howey test is refined, and there are refinements, but I think there is also a need for a refinement of the Howey test as specifically applied to crypto assets, okay? And we don't have this yet in the United States. Until then, SEC can just go into this roving commission of just citing anybody it wants, possibly non-compliant, and suing them before the court. So that's why this clarity, regulatory clarity, is needed in the United States.
Right. Exciting. I'm sure, you know, we should have another episode on just the Howey test, no? And even go into asking, is Ethereum a security? Are NFTs securities? Or are specific projects go out there right now securities? But it's been very enlightening. Ang dami nating natutunan. Okay, we can sue the government. I didn't know that. Okay. So all those times that all your frustrations, if you see the government, you know, if you are part of those exceptions, then, you know, and historically pala, we have won a lot of times. It's actually a thing, and I didn't even know that. Thank you for that. So siguro last question, Bernie Ross, given this and from our last conversation from the previous episode that you guys should also check out, no? Very exciting rin man. What's your outlook on the Philippines now? No, so are we sort of more advanced? Kasi tayo, we don't have VASTI and BCE and all this. In our last episode, you mentioned hindi lang dapat BSP ang regulate. There are other agencies or maybe even a new agency. Where are we right now in terms of regulatory for crypto and Web3? And what's your outlook?
Okay, I'll answer this question by also responding to the earlier question of how would this case in the United States would affect or impact regulatory developments here in the Philippines. And I'll answer that by saying that in many cases, we just basically follow what's the development in the United States. So it's highly likely that we will be heavily influenced. Now that the securities regulators in the Philippines will be heavily influenced by the policy that will be taken in the United States. Now, let me say that, of course, the Philippine Securities and Exchange Commission is independent. Okay, but the USEC is a very influential securities regulator. And it's not just the Philippines who is actually looking at the USEC as a role model. Of other securities regulators also do. It's just that what's happening in the United States right now, where actually, especially with this, the Gensler debacle, where he has laid out several paradoxes. And one paradox that he has laid out is basically stating that whether cryptocurrencies are securities depends on specific facts and circumstances, but all cryptocurrencies except Bitcoin are securities. So you see the absurdity of that. This one is really an outlier in terms of like how securities regulators globally look up to the SEC as a role model and as example, because right now what they're saying is actually the SEC is becoming a laughingstock among its peers, among other securities regulators because of this issue in when it comes to crypto. Now, you were asking also earlier as to whether we are advanced here in the Philippines, what's the development? Well, one is we already have a proposed digital asset exchange regulation back in 2019. I'm not really sure when that's going to come out. There were statements from some commissioners of the SEC that they were keen on releasing an updated draft version of these rules sometime early last year, but due to the FTX collapse, no, they had to reconsider the draft regulation and perhaps update or revise it before releasing it to the public for comments. What I would perhaps want to see more from the regulators is enforcement when it comes to clear violations of the Securities Regulation Code. So you see, the problem in the United States is this. In the United States, the securities regulatory framework is so complicated, so complex, that even technical non-compliance with the rules becomes a hot topic. We're not talking about whether Coinbase is a scam or whether Coinbase is a Ponzi scheme. And this is why the SEC is attacking them, right? I wish they have done that to FTX, but they haven't. The chief legal officer of Coinbase even highlighted the fact that Coinbase, a publicly listed company in the United States, has received Wells notices, right? Because they've received Wells notices several times, right? For different issues that the SEC is pointing out. But he has asked the question whether FTX has even received at least one Wells notice.
Wow.
Right? But nevertheless, let me bring it back to what I was discussing. In the US, we're talking about your technical non-compliance with the complex rules. Here in the Philippines, our problem is probably worse. It's more of, we have here in the Philippines, straightforward, clear scams. And the question is whether they are being apprehended and whether the persons who are involved in these crypto-related scams are being sued, no? Yeah, this is not to say that we should not question whether there are some crypto derivatives exchanges that operate here in the Philippines and whether that's legal, right? We can probably have that conversation at some point. But at first, right, let's talk about those crypto-related scams and whether they are being, and whether, yeah, the SEC as the regulatory enforcer are being able to apprehend them. I would want the SEC to become more aggressive when it comes to enforcement, when it comes to this, again, crypto-related scams.
All right. So another enlightening episode with Attorney Rafael Padilla here. As you can see, guys, we can sue the government, right? That's the newest thing I learned today. And so you can follow Attorney in the description. And yes, definitely we will have more episodes soon. And then, you know, Attorney Raf literally wrote the book on fintech. And please do watch out for more future episodes with him. Thank you, Attorney Raf.
Welcome, and I hope we can do this again next time.
That concludes another episode. Hope it was as insightful for you as it was for me. We have lots of exciting guests and topics coming up, so be sure to follow me on Twitter at Harry Initiative. Be updated on the next episodes and see you on our next trip here on Block to the Future.